So I think that the Holy Spirit is like the most ignored member of the Trinity, and you are inviting us into a closer relationship with God, who is the Holy Spirit, by helping us to scripturally unpack who he is and how he moves. So let's just start right there. Like, introduce us to the Holy Spirit.
Well, I mean, I love that the, you know, okay, great. I can do that. I can do that. It's one of those things where I've written the whole book on it now. And so it's like, let's just go right into the deep end. Let's just jump right in. So the Holy Spirit, like you said, he's the most overlooked person of the Trinity, but we have to start there with he is a person. Jesus, when talking about the Holy Spirit, he says he's going to come and he's going to speak truth and he's going to speak what the Father says to him and he will lead and he will guide. And, you know, throughout scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit has a personality. You know, he's got a mind, he has a will, he has emotions, and these are attributes of personhood. And yet he's depicted as wind and as fire and as all of these things. And so we think, well, how do you have a relationship with wind? How do you have a relationship with fire? But one of the things I address in the book and I talk about often is that we as human beings, you know, we live in skin suits. We have bodies that surround our spirits. But the truth is, our spirit is the realest part of who we are. As a matter of fact, scripture says that when we die and get to heaven and we put off this earthly body, we'll get a new body in heaven, because the bodies aren't the most important part of who we are. And likewise, when I think of the Holy Spirit, I just remember that he is who he is, just without the confines of flesh keeping him in one place. That's why he can be here with me and he can be there with you and he can be with all of the listeners this morning.
So we know that God is spirit, but we're also talking about the spirit as a co-equal, co-eternal member of the Trinity. And we're talking about the unique names, character, attributes of the Holy Spirit, of the living God. Can you walk around for us a little bit in sort of the challenge that it is to separate the members of the Trinity without actually separating the members of the Trinity?
Well, yeah, I think it's impossible because, you know, God is one. He reminds us over and over that he is one. The Lord your God is one. He tells Israel. And yet when we look at the different ways that God moves, you know, the Father and the Son's relationship, Jesus and the Holy Spirit's relationship, the Holy Spirit and the Father's relationship, and how this dynamic works together, it is a mystery. It's a mystery that I don't believe our brains will have the capacity to fully unpack on this side of heaven. However, it is a truth that resounds in our hearts when we take time and we really examine this and go, God, I believe that your word says that you are one. I believe that the Father and Son are one and want us to be one, like Jesus says, I want them to be one, like we're one, speaking to the Father. But, you know, we have to remember that the role of the Son in restoring, the role of the Son Jesus in restoring humanity back into right relationship with God, the role of the Holy Spirit in enabling and empowering believers to follow God, to live a life that's pleasing to him. The work that the Holy Spirit does in the salvation process, you know, they have unique roles in the oneness of who they are. And so my thinking is this: if they are all co-equal, if there isn't some hierarchy, you know, where we try to make one over the other, if they are truly one, and there can be no difference among them because there can be no discord within God, then that means that I need to know God in his fullness. I need to know the Holy Spirit so I can know the Father better. I need to embrace this portion of who God is so that I can have a full picture of who God is.
I love it. We're talking with Becky Thompson. The book is God So Close: Experience a Life Awakened to His Spirit. The word relationship comes up a lot. The word relationship is kind of the center piece of this conversation in terms of my engagement with God. And so, you know, we acknowledge that we have a reconciled relationship with the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. All members of the Trinity are actively engaged. And yet, I think we imagine the relationship is more with the Father or more with the Son. And I feel like what you are helping us see is that it's equally important to have an active relationship with God as Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yes, that is the hope here. I feel like we only know God as well as we know the Holy Spirit. And here's why I say that. As you read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is bringing life to those words inside of your heart. He is giving illumination to your spirit of what those words on paper mean. He is the hearer and the interpreter for us from within us. And it's such a cool relationship. But often, you know, we've been warned. It feels like nobody warns us about Jesus from within the church, right? Nobody from within the church would say, oof, Jesus walks into the room, be careful of that guy. But the Holy Spirit shows up in a service in some powerful way, moving in a way that, you know, humanity is responding to, like perhaps the Israelites would have responded to God's presence at the base of the mountain when his presence descended there, and they had a physical response. When we have a physical response today to the manifest presence of God in the room, it seems like there's a good portion of the body of Christ that says, oof, I don't know, watch out. We don't know about that guy. We don't know about the Holy Spirit. And I really feel like this is where the enemy of our hearts wants us. He wants us to distance ourselves from this supernatural relationship. He wants us to pursue information and not relationship. He wants us to keep it on surface level, if anything, from what we discover. And I really believe that God is inviting his church back into an understanding of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because this is the God who comes close. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And anytime any one of us as believers have prayed, God, I need your peace. Will you come? I need your strength. Will you come? It's the Holy Spirit who has done the work. And so I believe he deserves the honor and the respect as God to turn toward him and say, we won't just say Father, we won't just say Son, we will acknowledge the presence and personhood of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I love how Jesus confirms that, you know, you're going to be better off when I actually die and go take my seat at the right hand of the Father, because the Holy Spirit is going to come then, and you're going to be better off with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet we neglect it. We neglect both the presence and the power available to us in the Holy Spirit. Becky, when we talk about the Spirit, I suspect that people often, they often point to a knowledge of, well, the Spirit is, you know, is the part of God maybe that through whom gifts come. So can you clear up some of that? Because even as the way I said it, that wasn't accurate.
Well, I love this because I think of how Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is the gift. And truly that is true. The gift is his presence. And yet he gives us these giftings, these abilities to move through us. So let's kind of unpack this. There's a story in C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And to make it really simple, these characters are on a mission and they need tools. They need weapons. And Father Christmas shows up. And in this allegory, really, of our life as believers, they are given tools. And these gifts, they seem like toys, and yet he makes this distinguishing sentence. He says, these are tools and not toys. And I think in our lives, when we think of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I'll just list a few, mercy and acts of service and helping and words of knowledge and healing, and all of these supernatural and yet often overlooked things that the Holy Spirit is doing through us as normal believers, we think, well, these are things just given to believers. Like, we think of a gift, we think of it to us, right? It's a gift that's given to us. But the gifts of the Spirit of God are tools that are to us so he can move through us. They are a river. They are not a pool into our lives. And so I love how when Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit to the church at Corinth and to the church at Rome, he doesn't talk about them as though they don't have a knowledge that they exist. He talks to them as though they are already in full possession. He speaks to them like they already know they have these gifts through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit who's moving in their churches. And he just gives an explanation of how to properly use them. So as we believers today look back at this teaching of Paul, we go, okay, he's not trying to convince them that they still have gifts to use. He's trying to tell them, okay, here's why the body of Christ needs God to move through you. Here's why the body of Christ needs your tool, needs your gifting, so we can be whole and have God moving in our midst. And so today, as you know, we read these passages and we think on these giftings, you know, we should eagerly desire for God to move through us, not just so we can boast in this, my goodness, never really so we can boast in this, but so that the body of Christ can have the full working of what he wanted to make available, and so that the world can come to know him.
If we would read Jesus' parable of the talents in conversation with the way Paul talks about the giving of the Spirit and the gifts given to the body for the building up, you know, for the accomplishing of God's will, I think we would differently understand the parable of the talents, right? I mean, I just think that, like, when you bring this to me and I begin unfolding it in my mind, I'm like, oh, well, if the gift is the Spirit, then my failure to be in a robust relationship with the Spirit of God, doesn't just, you know, mean I'm stashing away the good gifts of God, you know, for myself, as opposed to using them for God's glory and the blessing of others. But I'm actually, like, neglecting the thing that God gave me to be his instrument in the world today. Like, I'm actually failing to be who I'm supposed to be if I'm neglecting my relationship with the Spirit.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to think that there are always people on the other side of what God calls us to do. You know, sometimes we think, how does this just impact my own life? But, you know, you exist within community. We all exist within spheres of family, whatever that looks like. And, you know, whether you're a mom listening and you've got kids, or you're an empty nester, or, you know, you have a work community, or you have a church family, these people need what God wants to do in you and through you. And so stewarding this gifting isn't just for your own life. It's really for the people that are standing next to you. It's for the people that God has put in your path. This is what Jesus modeled. It was to him and through him. And by to him, I mean the relationship of Jesus and the Holy Spirit moving together wasn't just for Jesus's sake to say, I'm here. I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. It was so he could say, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I have come for a purpose. In our own lives as carriers of the Spirit of God, we aren't just pools, we are rivers, and God wants to move through us in a really mighty way.
Yeah, that nature of us as a conduit or the instrumentality, that's so good. That's so wonderful. All right, we are talking with Becky Thompson. The book is God So Close, Experience a Life Awakened to His Spirit. This is really a scriptural book. You're going to get to unpack what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit, who he is, how he moves in and through the life of a believer. It's invitational. It's also, you know, at some points a little bit challenging. Becky, talk with us, because I think that this idea that the Holy Spirit still speaks today, like, immediately my radar goes up when I hear that or hear somebody say that, because I resist the idea of, like, right, God saying something new and different that's out of line with what God has already said. Or what. So can you talk a little bit about this God still speaking today business?
Yeah, I think it's really, really important, because you said, you know, my radar goes up when God might say something different than what he's already said. And we got to be real clear. The Holy Spirit never says anything contradictory to what is already said and confirmed in the Word of God. You know, if you're hearing something in your heart and it is not what God has already ordained in his Word, it is not the voice of the Lord. And so this is why learning to hear the Holy Spirit is so, so important. But Jesus says this in John chapter 16, verse 13. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And I think it's really important that if Jesus said the Holy Spirit would speak, then the Holy Spirit speaks. You know, God has not lost his voice. He spoke the world into creation. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke through Jesus. He speaks currently through the Word of God. And yet he doesn't come into our hearts and abide silently. There is not one believer who has not heard the Word of God as revealed by the Holy Spirit, who is giving their heart illumination. And so I think it's really, really important to say this. If you have come into relationship with the Father, you have been drawn by the Holy Spirit into that relationship with the Father. The Word says this is true. So whether we thought of it as a voice or as a prompting, this was the leading of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and drawing you into relationship with the Father. So I firmly believe there isn't one believer who hasn't heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. They just haven't recognized what they were hearing, feeling, sensing, seeing as the Lord speaking to them.
And if we haven't been trained up in it, then we have no way of discerning when what we're hearing is the Spirit or not. And so I think that this equipping is essential, not just for men and women today, but also for our children. Like we've been raised as a generation of people who have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, and who have largely ignored our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So maybe no wonder the world is so confused at what God may or may not be saying, because we don't have any ability to discern, because we don't know how to distinguish the Holy Spirit from every other spirit of the age.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right. And this is why in my own house, in my own family, I've worked really hard to make conversational relationship with God a real portion of our family life, a real portion of our, you know, interactive relationship that we have as a family with God. Because I think when we think of prayer, we, you know, it's just speaking. But can you imagine if I called you on the phone, I said everything I needed to say, and I hung up immediately, never expecting you to speak back? It would be the weirdest relationship. And you would be like, I had more to say to you. But it's like we pray to God, we expect him to then turn around and break into our busy. But so much of our lives is neglecting the waiting on God. Our busyness has taken away from the waiting on God. Our distraction, our stress, the realities of the events in our day are taking away from the supernatural God that we serve. So as, you know, I'm raising my kids, I'm going, what is God saying to you today? What a question to ask a child to make it normal that God would speak to them, that they do hear the voice of the Lord. What is God saying to you today? What does he want you to know today? What is he reminding your heart of today? So we spend time reading the Word so they can get to know his voice, but also we spend time just listening and waiting for God to speak, trusting that he hasn't lost his voice.